Jasper getting some advice for kids in middle school, kind of like the advice in this clip from Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Mom asked me to give you some advice about middle school. It's real simple. Don't talk to anyone. Don't look at anyone. Don't go anywhere. Don't sit down. Don't raise your hand. Don't go to the bathroom. Don't get noticed. Don't choose the wrong locker. Who am I kidding? You'll be dead or homeschooled by the end of the year anyway.
One piece of advice missing from that clip is don't be cool. New research shows that kids who are cool in early adolescence are more likely to have problems with drug and alcohol when they're adults. They're also more likely to have difficulties managing friendships.
Megan Shad is with us to talk about this research. She's one of the co-authors of the study and a graduate student in clinical psychology at the University of Virginia. Megan, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, let's start off by talking a little bit about this study. Now, basically, you looked at middle school kids and kind of followed them over time.
That's correct.
And and how did you tell that they were cool or not? Or is there a more clinical term that you used for this?
not exactly. How we figured that out was we looked at some of their different behaviors in early adolescence. And that's cool is really our conceptualization. We looked at three different kinds of behaviors, whether or not they were interested or preoccupied in some sense with appearance, like physical attractiveness, and as well as how much they were involved in minor deviant behavior, so things like skipping school or shoplifting things that were like $10 or less. And the third one was how much physical intimacy they had in their romantic relationships between the ages of 13 and 15. And those three things together, we call that last one precocious romantic behavior. We put all three of those behaviors together to determine who the cool kids were. And it turned out that those three things were really related to how much they valued popularity.
Oh, I see. So, and so you surveyed these students. They were determined to be cool, and then you realized that part of the reason they were like that is because they were very focused on being popular?
Yeah, that was part of it. And so we thought that that kind of validated our, was the beginning step to validating our conceptualization of them being cool, and then we moved from there. So we measured things like their actual popularity and things like that.
And so then basically you moved along with them. You sort of followed them along to see how their early coolness in middle school turned out later in life. And you discovered what?
We discovered that essentially they were popular and cool in early adolescence. They got the popularity bump essentially, but then by age 20 to 23, we're seeing some real problems for them.
So some of these remained cool in high school. So it's not like they were found out right when they got in high school and things kind of turned the wrong direction then.
Right. Not right when they got to high school. It becomes the cool kids and the so-called normal kids essentially have the same popularity by about age 16 in our study, at least. And so they get that bump through about the middle of high school, but then it kind of teeters out. We can't tell the difference by the end of high school.
So basically what you're talking about are sort of the early bloomers then in some ways.
Exactly.
You're not necessarily talking about the kids who are cool in high school per se. So those kids in middle school that are really, really ahead of the game, at least in the coolness factor, wind up falling behind later in life.
And that's a really important point, that these behaviors that we're identifying are actually pretty normative for adolescents by about age 16 and 17, but the ones who are displaying these behaviors at age 13, that's the real marker of risk that we're seeing. Those are the kids that are having the problems later in life.
That's interesting. So it's normal for a kid to be concerned about their appearance and stuff like that when they're later in life. That's kind of part of being a teenager, I guess.
Exactly. And it's also associated with this extreme desire to be popular, plus the belief that the way to get there is to act older than you are at the time. So they're doing things that are kind of precocious that not many of their peers are doing. But then, as you're saying, by the time they get to 16, 17, most people are doing the behaviors that we're marking here.
Now, a lot of people, when they find out about your research, they kind of think that the headline is sort of like "Revenge of the Nerds," man. Thank goodness I was in right. band when I was in, you know, or whatever. And there's probably more to your research than that, because I mean this actually is sort of a you could potentially offer some advice to the parents of kids who might be at risk of becoming these early bloomer cool kids in middle school that could help them, right? Is that the purpose for the research?
That's definitely one of the directions we'd like to go. One of the things that we like to say is, or to have people hear as a result of our research, is that, you know, if parents are noticing that their middle schoolers might be on this so-called fast track, they shouldn't assume that that's necessarily normal adolescent behavior. As we said, it might be by age 17, but if they're 13, they need to be on the lookout. And also, on the flip side, to reassure the vast majority of parents that if their kid's not on one of these cool kids, that's really okay, and they're probably going to turn out, the long-term effects are going to be really positive.
So it sounds like that sort of middle school phase is really crucial for kids' development then.
Yes, I think our research is starting to show that it really is, and reminding everyone, parents and the kids, that these cool kids may get a lot of airtime on Monday mornings talking about what happened to them over the weekend and what they've been doing. You know, it's really a lot cooler to talk about how they got drunk over the weekend, but it's less cool to talk about watching a movie with a friend at your house. But the kids that are watching the movie and eating ice cream are actually more likely to be in the majority and more likely to do well in the long run. So in a sense, it kind of is the high school reunion effect or the Revenge of the Nerds kind of thing.
We're talking to Megan Shad. She's one of the researchers who wrote that study that you've probably heard about cool middle school kids who aren't so cool later in life or have some challenges later in life. If you have questions for her or you want to talk a little bit about your experience in middle school or ask questions about that, feel free to join the conversation. The lines are open right now, so you can call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll be going to calls in just a little bit, but I just wanted to let you know, as a listener, if you want to be involved in this conversation, you can join it. Could we talk some more, Megan, about what did you get any sense of what causes kids to be this way when they're 13, as opposed to kids who don't?
Right. That's a very good question. We have certainly some ideas based on what our research and previous research has implied. And what we're thinking at this point, and we would love for future research to continue to bear this out, is that there is an extreme kind of desire to be popular matched with this belief that the way to get there is to act older. So it's almost as if they're pursuing status by impressing others as opposed to connecting with them. And one of the big tasks in adolescence is to learn how to become your own person, but also know how to connect with other people in a meaningful way. And these individuals who are connecting or developing friendships by impressing others and doing these pseudo-mature behaviors, as we're calling them in the paper, are missing out on that developmental step. They're not figuring out how to connect deeply. So they're more focused on appearances as opposed to being good friends.
In doing research for this, sort of leading up to the research with this, were you able to find that there has been any change in that kind of behavior among kids in middle school because of, you know, the rise of digital media and things like that, video game, you know, or
yeah. That's a very good question. Part of our larger study, there are some researchers in our group who are looking at social media. I have not done that, but it's certainly an avenue we're looking into, and I'm because that's not my area, I'm not quite familiar with any research that would indicate that. But that's just because I'm not as familiar with that body of research.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation in just a minute. We're talking to Megan Shad from the University of Virginia about some new research that the kids who were cool in middle school were more likely to struggle as young adults. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Mike Arnold.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation with Megan Shad from the University of Virginia about new research showing that kids who are cool in middle school struggle more as young adults.
and we're taking your calls now. Are you surprised to hear about this research? Does it ring true with what you experienced in middle school? Or do you want to challenge the research a little bit? We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to join the conversation. If you have questions or comments, call in and let us know at 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email at talk@WPR.org or post on the Central Time Facebook page. It's a great chance to talk to Megan Shad, who was one of the authors of the University of Virginia research showing that kids who are cool in middle school struggle more as young adults. And let's go to the phones here. Phil from Racine. Phil, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, I guess I'm not very surprised by your research finding, because it seems as though the endpoints that you're looking at are really more, instead of measuring coolness, are really measuring rebellion.
Okay, Phil, that's a good comment. Megan, you want to respond to that?
In some ways, that is true in terms of our behaviors like skipping school or shoplifting and things like that. I'm not sure how rebellious, though, valuing appearances or getting romantically involved would be considered. All of those behaviors are considered normative for adolescents in general, which is, you know, could be considered a rebellious time overall, which we would conceptualize as part of their way of figuring out how to be independent from their parents.
And Megan, did you also ask other students, their sort of colleagues or whatever at school, whether they thought they were cool? Did you do that? Or
I did. Well, the researchers did, not me personally.
Right.
But yes, in fact, they were popular. So we asked all of the entire grade to nominate who they wanted to spend Saturday nights with. And these individuals, it was associated, the ones who were doing these pseudo-mature behaviors, as we're calling them, had higher levels of, or higher nominations of, this popularity.
And the thing that's really odd about it, and I'll just bring this up and we'll move on, but it's really funny because your definition of the cool kid kind of sounds like a Ferris Bueller from the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We weren't really trying to define the super rebellious, you know, rebel without a cause kind of
sort of
person,
sulking just James Dean type. It's actually more
right.
of the likable.
Exactly. The one who's trying to please his peers, trying to be doing the things that his older peers are already doing, because it's normative for them to be doing it at 16 and 17, but they just happen to be doing it at 13 and 14.
All right. Well, let's go to the phones. We have lots of people on the line. 800-642-1234 is the number. Jim from Kenosha, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks.
So,
hello. Yeah. Well, I was a cool kid when I was a kid. Now I'm an old man, and I gotta agree that a lot of my buddies really, you know, didn't quite fare so well. I feel like I'm kind of one of the lucky ones, you know, that I not only did okay, but actually thrived. You might say I'm a success, you know, materially.
So were you cool in middle school, or did you become cool in high school?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you were cool,
oh, no.
Like, from the very beginning.
Cool in, yeah, I was cool in middle school. I was cool in sixth grade.
Wow.
And by middle school, I was very cool.
So does this research make you mad?
I was the coolest. No, it's kind of interesting. That's the reason why I called.
And it kind of rings true for you because you had other cool friends who didn't turn out as well as you did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that call, Jim. And Megan, I guess Jim's example, you actually discovered that in some of your research, too. There were some cool people who turned out okay, like Jim.
Yes, definitely. So it is important to also for everyone to know that this isn't necessarily a life sentence, or if parents are concerned about their kids being on this fast track, it doesn't necessarily mean these outcomes that we're finding are going to happen to them. You know, all of our research is based on what correlations, or what I mean is only some of the people who are even in this group are experiencing these negative outcomes. And it's a significant portion, so we're really concerned about this group in general, but not everyone in the group is going to have these outcomes.
All right. Well, we're going to go back to the phones again. Stephen from La Crosse. Stephen, welcome to Central Time. Stephen, I think you have your phone up or something. Stephen, can you hear me? I think we lost Stephen. So let's move on to Marcus from Appleton. Marcus, welcome to Central Time.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
What's your comment?
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you just fine.
Excellent. I was actually wondering what your guests would say to adults such as myself. I'm at an age now where I'm not considering having children yet, but I'm considering whether I'd want to have children. And I can think of just as many reasons why it might not be a good idea these days as it would be to actually have children. And this is one of the very issues that I consider is the kind of life that my child might have when they're in school. Are they going to be the popular kid that ends up failing as adults, or are they going to be the not popular kid that ends up suffering while they're going through school? And I often consider maybe not having kids is the better choice.
Well, Marcus, thanks for that call. Would you feel that way, having worked on this research for years, Megan, that you're kind of darned if you do and darned if you don't in terms of coolness?
Right. It's a good question and a really hard question to answer. Just based on the research, there's a ton of positive research about adolescents moving through all of school and all of adolescence in terms of their social, like, friendships and romantic relationships really, really successfully. And, you know, just to highlight again, this particular research would also support that if we looked at the opposite of the findings. So the majority of students are not in the cool crowd. They're in the just normal crowd, and they have great experiences. So even the opposite extreme that the caller was talking about, with the ones who really struggle and have a terrible experience in school, that's also the minority. So the majority of people just sort of float through, and kind of nobody notices them except their small group of friends, and they have good experiences, and they do learn to connect with others successfully, and they have, but you know.
Did you get any sense from your research that kids that aren't cool actually may benefit from that because it's part of their development is people and moving into young adulthood?
In terms of the way we conceptualize it in this paper, that could be one of the interpretations of this data. Yeah, definitely. But I can't say that as a global statement, but in terms of the behaviors that we're conceptualizing as cool here, that's certainly something we could at least say for some students.
All right, well, let's go to the phones again. Stephen from La Crosse. Stephen, I hope you're there this time.
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, thanks for calling. What's your comment?
Yes, my question for Megan is, so I graduated from high school about 4 years ago, and I was friends with a kid all the way through, and in the middle school particularly, I remember he was, I guess he had more friends than the average person, so he was a very popular person, and like recently I've seen him kind of fall by the wayside and maybe kind of fit this group of people that you're kind of looking for in your research. And my question for you is, he's a dear friend of mine, and what do you think, what kind of hope is there for people like him who have kind of just fallen to the slumps and kind of just kind of been, you know, that kind of person, like, as of lately, and maybe how can we change their attitudes to help them improve their life, I guess.
Well, Stephen, thanks for that question. Megan, Chad, do you have some comments on that?
Well, I can certainly try and answer. It does sound like a sad story for your friend, and I'm glad that you're interested in helping him. The research that we've done wouldn't have much to say about that because we were more interested in the mechanisms in adolescence and how, you know, people can intervene in the early stages. But you can certainly do things like support your friend, be there for him. You know, what our paper says is that, or what one of the implications is that we think these individuals have a hard time connecting to other people because they're relying so much on these behaviors that are impressing others as opposed to connecting with others. And so if perhaps, and I'm speculating here, but perhaps your friend might benefit from learning how to connect and just be having some supportive friendships for him as an early adult.
Well, Stephen, thanks for that call. We'll have to wrap things up on that. Megan, Chad, what do you think is next? I mean, I'm guessing that this will drive you to do more research. What will you do?
Most definitely. This is some of our very exciting research. We're very, very interested in it. And perhaps we will look at the early adult outcomes and what can be done in early adulthood for these individuals who this has already happened to.
Well, thank you so much. Megan Chadd is from the University of Virginia. She worked on some new research. And you're listening to Central Time here on Wisconsin Public Radio.